Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Today, New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill has signed the Fair Price Protection Act into law.
Over the course of a year, a family could spend $1,200 more for the very same groceries just because of an invisible algorithm. That's just wrong.
I'll chat with Jazz House Kids founder and president Melissa Walker about the 17th annual Montclair Jazz Festival.
Our Jazz House Collective are doing a tribute to Miles Davis and John Coltrane, because every year we celebrate someone who is celebrating their 100th birthday.
And WBGO's John Kalish has the story of a Lower East Side virtuoso.
Moskowitz came to America in 1908 from Romania. Just 4 months after his arrival, he landed on the front page of the New York Times.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. The Fair Price Protection Act is now law in New Jersey. Governor Mikey Sherrill this week signed the measure protecting Garden State shoppers from discriminatory surveillance pricing. The act prevents businesses from using personal information, such as online activity, location, or purchasing history, to charge different prices for identical products, based on what an algorithm predicts a shopper is willing or able to pay.
Last year, Consumer Reports investigated the scale of surveillance pricing on one of these grocery store platforms. They found that one app charged different shoppers up to 20% more for basic products like peanut butter or turkey.
Surveillance pricing uses consumer data to set prices for individual shoppers, often using large-scale and collection efforts and artificial intelligence.
Over the course of a year, a family could spend $1,200 more for the very same groceries just because of an invisible algorithm. That's just wrong. People deserve privacy. They deserve fair prices.
Now, the Fair Price Protection Act prohibits retailers from using personal data to set individualized prices on groceries and other necessities for New Jersey shoppers, but does not ban loyalty programs or discounts. The bill also places a one-year moratorium on the new use of electronic shelf labels while the New Jersey Innovation Authority studies the effects and impact of that technology. The law does not require that stores stop using, repairing, or replacing existing electronic shelf labels. The Montclair Jazz Festival launched a new five-week soundcheck series in June, and it continues in August at the Wellmont Arts Plaza leading up to the grand finale. Each week highlights one of the iconic cities where jazz pioneered and where it continues to thrive today. As always, great music, great energy, and the world of jazz tradition showcased one city at a time. The Wellmont Arts Plaza is located right outside the Wellmont Theater off Bloomfield Avenue in downtown Montclair. And the series continues on July 28th at the Wellmont Arts Plaza. It will feature Joel Ross's Good Vibes. And then August 4th, a Tuesday, the soundcheck series continues with Rebirth Brass Band. And we know the power of that Grammy Award-winning group. The 17th annual Montclair Jazz Festival, well, that is coming up on Saturday, August 15th. Who knows all about this? Well, of course. It's Melissa Walker, president and founder of Jazz House Kids, the presenter of the Montclair Jazz Festival. Melissa, always great to see you.
It is so great to see you and good to be here at WBGO. Thank you.
I want to start off, though, without getting into the festival, is that Jazz House Kids is now part of a national conversation about democracy. Yeah. And it's involving the Smithsonian Institute. So tell us about this honor that you've received to have this conversation.
Oh, we're so thrilled. We're so honored. The Smithsonian decided for America 250 that instead of activating on the mall as they have done the Folk Life Festival, as they have done for many decades, that they would go out into America, into the United States, and across the United States, and they would collaborate with festivals. And it's called, I'm going to get this, it is called the Smithsonian Institute of the people, the Smithsonian Festival of Festivals. I love that. Of the people, the Smithsonian Festival of Festivals. And we are one of those festivals. There's about 34 or so festivals that they selected to show what it means to be civic-minded and activating your community around gathering people together and how American that is. And they wanted to have a national conversation about our democracy, our union as people. And this national conversation is called We Hold These Truths. So what are those inalienable rights that connect us together as a society, as a neighborhood, as a community? And so activating across America from the spring into the fall are these festivals. And so we are popping up, literally popping up a conversation at a tent at our sites at our festival. And we're inviting the public to come and sit down, and they're having a conversation. And those conversations are going to be collected throughout all the festivals that are participating in these conversations. And then Morgan State, my understanding, is going to put them together, and they're going to be archived. And I can imagine in 100 years from now, and many decades from now, they're going to be listening to these conversations that are being had all across America. And so we're talking about jazz as this convener. As this example of democracy in action on stage. And then we're inviting people to come and have that conversation and share their perspective. So it's a really exciting time for us that we're having this national conversation because, Doug, I really think that jazz is a global conversation. And so we're doing it on stage and we're doing it off.
It really makes sense because, as you know, when you go to a jazz concert, you see all kinds of people, right? All different colors of people, all different ethnic backgrounds, all different economic situations. Jazz brings everybody together. So it really makes sense that that would be a launch pad and, and the glue that people would have to tell their stories about where they feel democracy is in our country right now. It seems to make a lot of sense. I'm sure this honor makes you realize just how far Jazz House Kids has come.
Well, with you asking that, knowing that this organization, the Jazz House, would not be here, but being invited to a kids program with Dorthon, NEA Jazz Master Dorthon Kirk and Gary Walker, kind of saying, come on in. We want you to do a program for kids 2 to 12. Adults can't show up if they don't bring a kid with them. And, I thought we were going to go and do a concert that day. And then, Dorothan said, well, Melissa, in addition to the concert, I'd like you to do something, have a program. And I thought, what do you mean have a program? I don't have a program. I got a concert for you. And so she said, well, we want our young people to learn about something about jazz. And, there's nothing about being put on the spot to be the mother of invention. And so I said, Doug, let me do what I, as a young artist at that time, I was so struck by this global conversation, this universal language of jazz. And so I said to the young people, I said, okay, everybody, look under your seat, go grab that tool belt, let's put it on, because today we're going to build a jazz house. And lo and behold, that there was somebody in the audience that day. His name is Bill May, and he was the head of your visual and performing arts in Newark. And he said, man, I love that assembly program. And I said, you love what assembly program? He said, what you just did. And he invited me to come into Newark Public Schools. I had a great band, Aaron Goldberg on piano, Ron Blake coming in from Harlem, just fantastic musicians that I had. And we went into schools early in the day, all hours of the day, and started building a jazz house. And truthfully, we've been building ever since. We are in New Jersey. We have a satellite, thanks to Trinity Church, NYC in Lower Manhattan. We have programs. In one day, we do more programs than we used to do in a year. And some 50,000 young people have come through this program. We have an adult ensembles each and every week. We probably do over 100 programs a week. And we're still in schools with our music scholars. We're in Elizabeth. We're in Jersey City. We're in Newark. We were in five Brooklyn schools this year, building curriculum and working with teachers through a fellows program. And that's about access, giving instruments to kids, busing kids, to make sure that they can have access, the learning that happens on stage and off. I mean, today, Christian, our artistic director, Christian McBride, is in New York City at one of our programs with Ron Blake. Matter of fact, every day of the week, right here, Shami Royston is here with our Chica Power program, making sure that girls can rise and improvise and make sure there's a space for them. And there certainly is. And then it all comes together with our summer workshop. That'll happen on the campus of Montclair State University at the top of August. And the last day is this downtown jamboree, where we will invite some 30,000 people to the streets of Montclair. And so all of that, and that's actually our last pillar. It's about career building development. And our last pillar is about community building. And so all of that came from that one moment in 2000 where she said, come and do the WBGO's kids program. And that sparked everything that has happened ever since.
And the beauty of that is Gary Walker's still going strong at WBGO. I know you had a chance to see him lately at one of the staff parties, and I just spoke with DK the other day. She's doing fantastic, busy as ever. So this jazz community continues to grow. The downtown jazz jamboree will be once again the 17th version. It will be on Saturday, August 15th. Let's quickly go through the sound check series. It's been going extremely well, I know, and now Joel Ross's Good Vibes will be on Tuesday, July 28th at the Wellmont Arts Plaza.
Exactly. First of all, through this theme of the festival this year was jazz, the sound of freedom. So we started off and we've been doing the migration of this music. So we went to Kansas City with Bobby Watson. We went to Houston, one of the great cities now, with Jason Moran. We went to we had the Count Basie band for the first, and we went to Red Bank, right? This week we had Orrin Evans from Philadelphia. You can't get away without jazz without having the Philly sound. And then we brought in Michelle Rosewomen and Quintessence for New York. Well, next we'll go with Joel Ross will be coming in because you've got to get into Chicago. And so he'll be coming with the Good Vibes. It will be kicked off by our young people opening up the show. And we do every one of our sound check series right here on Wellmont Plaza. And I think what's so wonderful about it's an intimate space. So people will bring their lawn chairs. Our members will be in the members' tent. They will come in. People are encouraged to go get their jam pass. And when they get their jam pass by going to the Montclair Jazz Festival, every week we are bringing, or every sound check, we're bringing a new commemorative button that says, I support the Montclair Jazz Festival. So last week, this week's button was Sarah Vaughan. Before that was Mingus. So all of the artwork that coincides with this festival that people are now collecting on their t-shirts are also on these buttons. So everyone's having a lot of fun kind of collecting all of these things. So that'll be Joel Ross on the 28th. And then you know where we got to go next. You've got to go to New Orleans. And so that great city, we will be bringing in the Rebirth Brass Band. And that's a program that's underwritten by the GMAO Prima Foundation. And so we are thrilled to have that opportunity. So they'll come in. I don't think there'll be any lawn chairs because everybody will be on their feet dancing. And that is on August 4th. And then we continue. We'll be going to the brewery. They have a what we call the festival brew. And so they made a new beer for us, and that happens on the 13th. We will be at the Claridge Cinema with Take Me to the River All Stars. They're going to show the Take Me to the River All Stars New Orleans, their film. And the producer of that film will be doing a Q&A after. So that's on the 13th. And then, 2 days later, the Downtown Jamboree at Lackawanna Plaza. And then that is just filled with tremendous artists as well.
It certainly is, and last year was another beautiful festival. I'm always impressed with, first of all, the camaraderie. Everybody, there's so much love going on, right? There's so much great music, but away from the stage, right, is also where you see, first of all, wonderful stands that you can go to. There may be crafts, there may be various organizations that you can learn about. But it's the people. You enjoy each other so much when you go to this festival, and then you're treated to this fantastic group of artists, and some of them that with the Spanish Harlem Orchestra, Diane Reeves, Gotham Kings, as you mentioned, your husband Christian McBride and his Grammy-winning big band, bringing that Philly sound that you're talking about, that you were talking about, to
With
this
Bilal.
wonderful, and
With
Bilal,
Bilal, yes, we're
yeah.
joining him.
17 years, you and I have been talking about this festival for a long time. What's different as you approach the 17th from any of the other festivals?
I really think this overlay of thinking about our democracy as Jazz the Sound of Freedom at 250, I think everybody is really thinking about the times we live in. And this, I think that is the biggest piece. And really, thanks to the support of the Smithsonian, as well as the National Endowment for the Arts, that is letting us bring in and helping us bring in many NEA jazz masters, Patrice Rushen, Diane Reeves, are examples. I think this year, we are going to have a great time, but we're going to talk about what is important to us, and share in. And I think you really hit upon it. What is so unique? It's because it is of the people. And I think that is why they are talking about it across the nation as the Festival of Festivals, because that kind of community, that kind of gathering that happens at festivals is very un is germane to us as the human experience. And to know that support these things, give your $15, help make this possible to be sustainable. And that's what we ask, because when there are no lights and you click on 88.3 and you don't hear double BGO, there's going to be a lot of us that are really sad. Because it is part of the fabric of our daily lives. And I think that is a reminder. And I think that's part of the conversation, which is what holds us together? What do you hold dear together? And that is gathering together in music and in community. And I think that is my answer to what is so special. I think people are feeling it all over, and I think they are happy that we are calling it out and that we're asking people to think about it, to talk about it, protect it, secure it, fight for it, make sure that it stays something that is freedom for all of us. And this music is about freedom. And so that's the conversation we are having. So it's called, at the festival, we say, hear live music, see live music, be live music. It's us. It's the people. We're the people.
There's also a special event with the Jazz House Kids involved with this festival. Tell us about it.
In addition to opening every sound check series with an emerging talent of st students currently studying at the Jazz House or recent grads and our alumni, at the Downtown Jamboree, you've got your main stage that we've talked about, but you also have your emerging artist and your jazz house stage. And on this stage, 150 young people who are studying at our summer workshop will perform in all sorts of ensembles, Latin ensemble, vocal ensembles, the Savoy Big Band, the Jazz House Big Band, the Manteca Latin Jazz Band. They will be performing, and in addition, our Jazz House Collective, which is a collective of our faculty, our world-class faculty, are doing a tribute to Miles Davis and John Coltrane because this year's celebrated artist, every year we celebrate someone who would be celebrating their 100th birthday, and you can't choose between Miles Davis and John Coltrane. So we will be celebrating and paying tribute to them on the Jazz House stage. On that day as well. And so there's so much music happening. In all, we will have about a 350 performers at the Downtown Jamboree and through the Soundcheck series of Jazz House Kids. So we are super excited.
As we wrap this up, to me, one of the special parts of this festival now is not only we talk about the word community, but it's the location. The location in downtown Montclair, Lackawanna Station there is perfect, and so many organizations have got behind the Montclair Jazz Festival. It is truly an event that you don't want to miss. Want to congratulate you again, Melissa Walker, the president and founder of Jazz House Kids, and your husband, Christian McBride, for putting together yet another spectacular event. And we look forward to the series and the sound check. Once again, July 28th, Joel Ross's Good Vibes, August 4th, the Rebirth Brass Band, and then the Montclair Jazz Festival. Number 17 will be on
Number
August
17.
15th. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You can see my entire interview with Melissa Walker on the WBGO YouTube channel. Hammered dulcimers are stringed instruments that are played with mallets. They've been around for more than 2,000 years and are heard in the traditional music of Asia and Europe. Also known as a cimbalom, they gained popularity in the U.S. during the folk music revival of the 1960s. WBGO's John Kalish reports on a Lower East Side virtuoso, who also ran a series of popular restaurants.
Pete Reshefsky runs the Center for Traditional Music and Dance in New York. He came of age in upstate Rochester, where he was involved in the local folk music scene. Eventually, Reshefsky devoted himself to klezmer music.
I grew up as a banjo player and a guitar player, so I was always a fan of plucky sounding string instruments. And when I was trying to learn to play klezmer, I was looking for an instrument that was idiomatic to klezmer. And cimbalom is really the plucky sounding string instrument of klezmer music. And when I finally saw the instrument being played and heard it, I just fell in love with it.
Ain't sway, ain't sway dry.
This is Reshefsky playing a tune by the great cimbalom player Joseph Moskowitz at the Library of Congress in 2013. Moskowitz came to America in 1908 from Romania. Just 4 months after his arrival, he landed on the front page of the New York Times. The headline proclaimed, "Champion cimbalist is playing here now." The review mentioned that Moskowitz's performance was greeted with cries of bravo. Hrushevsky says Moskowitz was a mover and shaker on the Lower East Side's diverse cultural scene in the early 20th century.
Joseph Moskowitz is such a unique personality, an incredibly creative entrepreneur and cultural figure.
He was a master. He was an absolute virtuoso.
His technical competence on the instrument, it's just incredible. He plays such a range of music, from Turkish music to Jewish music to Ukrainian and Russian music, Greek music. He recorded some wonderful ragtime pieces on the cymbalum.
Moskowitz had a hand in several restaurants, including a wildly successful Second Avenue establishment frequented by underworld figures, elected officials, and showbiz types. In the early 1900s, there were dozens of Romanian restaurants on the Lower East Side, which was home to so many Romanian Jews it was known as Little Romania.
A lot of these Romanian-themed restaurants would advertise their in-house bands. We know they were cultural hotspots. Moskowitz's restaurants were the kind of place to go and be seen. They were a uniquely iconic Lower East Side New York experience of the time.
Moskowitz did perform from time to time in concert venues, including Town Hall, but his steady gig was before diners at his restaurant. His restaurant business card proclaimed a concert every evening. Moskowitz's cymbalum weighed 150 pounds, so it was not an easy instrument to cart around town.
It's about the size of an upright piano. And that's why being a restaurant musician was, in a way, a perfect occupation, because you just leave it in the restaurant and come and play it every night.
Among the bold-faced names who came to hear Moskowitz perform were Theodore Dreiser, Chaim Weizmann, and Yasha Heifetz. The comedian Ed Wynn came by and, after hearing Moskowitz banging away on his cymbalum, invited him onto his nationally broadcast radio show.
Mr. Moskowitz,
yes.
This cymbalum is a very old and unusual instrument, isn't it?
Yes, the cymbalum I use dates back to the 17th century.
Your cymbalum dates back to the 17th century? My goodness, it should be nearly paid for by now, for heaven's sake. 17th century. Well, I know everybody wants to hear you play the cymbalum. Would you do that?
Yeah, very well, I will play it.
He was pretty shrewd in terms of publicity and cultivating relationships with media figures. I mean, he was written about all the time in different newspapers, magazines, books. You could tell that was really important to him.
Moskowitz left New York and made an ill-fated attempt to run a restaurant in Akron, Ohio. He spent the last 10 years of his life in Washington, D.C., playing at a restaurant owned by a violinist in the house band.
Apparently, when Moskowitz started performing with them, a young congressman from California used to come in. He used to ask specifically if Moskowitz was performing that evening. And if he was, he would come in. He would often have a bottle of something in a paper bag. He would sit in the back and he would watch Moskowitz. So who was this young congressman? Well, he later became vice president and then president of the United States. It was Richard Nixon.
Joseph Moskowitz passed away in 1954. His papers, including an unpublished memoir, were discovered at the home of a relative in the Cleveland area. And earlier this year, the music division at the Library of Congress acquired his archive. Recordings of Moskowitz, everything from klezmer to ragtime to classical pieces, are widely available on YouTube. For the WBGO Journal, I'm John Kalish.
Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.